Daf Ches Amud Aleph, and we're about halfway through the Amud. And if you count down from the top, you'll probably find it at something like 15 lines down from the top of the Amud. And anyone who wants to open their cameras would be more than welcome to do so. Believe me, it's very hard to give a shia to just blank names. But anyway, so the first word in the line is Nema, and that's about 15 lines down from the top. And to understand what we're up to now, I'll just give a very quick two-minute review of what we did until now. We're dealing with an issue called Tuma Hucha B'Tzibur or Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur. In fact, the Gemara says that's a Machlokas Tanoim. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, Tuma Hucha B'Tzibur. Hucha B'Tzibur means that in the case of Tuma, if we're dealing with a carbon tzibur that has a zman kavua, there's a certain urgency of time, we don't have to run around and try to avoid a kohen who's tamei and find a way of doing it betara. Just go ahead and do it betuma. Rav Shimon, on the other hand, holds tuma dechuya betzibur. That means if we have no choice, then that's what we're going to have to do, and we'll have to be doche, override the normal prohibition of Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. But if we can find a better way of doing it, which would circumvent and avoid the problem of Tumah, that's what we have to do. Now the Gemara says, Nema Hani Tanoi Kahani Tanoi. We're going to learn a Braisa now. The Braisa is going to record a Machlokas Tanoim. And the Gemara wants to suggest that Machlokas Tanoim depends upon the same issue about which there was a controversy between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, namely whether Tuma is Hucha B'Tzibur or Dechuya B'Tzibur. Desanya, we learned it a Braisa, and we're talking about the Kohen Gadol, who has to be Poresh 7 days before Yom Kippur, and the Kohen Asorif HaSapora, who's in charge of preparing the Parah Aduma. He too has to leave his house and be quarantined for a full week before he burns the Parah Aduma. Echad ze v'echad ze, according to Rabbi Meir, the first Tana in this Braisa, in both cases, whether it's the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur or the Kohen Asorif HaSapora, mazin olav b'chol shivas yomim, b'chol shiva, mikol chatos shahoyusham. What we're talking about here is that from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and on, any time that they had a Parah Aduma, they would always put away some of the ashes of the Parah Aduma, and that was set aside for all generations to come, and it was used over and over again during the course of the history of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, as far as a Tomei Mess is concerned, someone who contracted Tuma because he was with a corpse in the same Ohel, for example, even if he didn't touch the corpse, and how much more so if he came in contact with the corpse, he has to wait 7 days before he can jump into the mikveh and be mitayer himself. Now, during this 7-day period, he needs hazah, Hey Zion Aleph Hey, which means have to sprinkle on the Tomei some of the ashes of the Parah Aduma. They made a concoction which they mixed Mayim Chaim together with the ashes, and they did Hazah. The Torah requires Hazah twice on two different days during that 7-day period. On 3 and 7, on the 3rd and the 7th day. There's no requirement of Hazah on a daily basis for all of these 7 days. And yet, according to Rabbi Meir, in the cases of Prisha, of both the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur and the Kohen Asorif HaSapora, they would do a Hazah every single one of those 7 days, in order to be mitayer him excuse me, to purify him from Tumas Mess in the event that he was Metami Tumas Mess. Again, we have no way of knowing. We don't have any testimony or knowledge to the effect that he actually was Metami Mess, but just in case, the Rabbanu were Machmir, and they wanted to suspect the possibility that perhaps without his knowledge, he was in an Olam Mess. Let's say in contemporary life, we could say he walked into a hospital and he had no idea that there was somebody who was already had expired and he contracted Tumas Mess. So because of this chance, this possibility, that either the Kohen Gadol or the Kohen Asori of Sapora had contracted Tumas Mess, L'chumra, we're going to require an entire process of Tara. And logically, that process of Tara would require Hazah on Shlishi and Shvi, on the third and the seventh day. Why then does Rabbi Meir insist that on every single day of the 7 days, both for the Kohen Gadol and for the Kohen Asarif, we require Hazah? And this Hazah is from all the different paros, the cows that they had brought and they had burnt over the course of the history of the Beis HaMikdash. They used to take the Afer and they used to put it l'mishmeres in a very safe place. And that was in the Beis HaMikdash in a place called the Chel. And they would take the Afer of all the paros that were already burnt in the past and make a mixture of all those ashes from all the different paros, and they would use those for Hazah. And if they didn't find, for example, enough Afer from, let's say, 7 different paros, then they would make it from 6, and if they didn't find 6, they took it from 5, etc., etc. Now, there is one opinion that says that they had to do a Hazah from all these different paros. And there's another opinion that says that could be that some of the Afer from various paros in the past were used up, they're no longer there. But they used to require at least a mixture of 2 different paros. And the Rambam is of the opinion that on a daily basis, for this full 7-day period during the quarantine, they did a Hazah on every one of those 7 days from all the Afer of all the paros that they had. And the reason why they wanted to do such a comprehensive job is because they were always afraid that maybe one of the paros or another one of the paros was not done the way it should have been done, and it wasn't lo nasta kahoge b'chol prateh. Some of the details, the critical details, were missed, and therefore they wanted to expand the probability that this would be a valid hazah. So therefore, the more paros that they could take the ashes from, the larger, the greater the statistical probability of their being successful. And again, as we say, the Rambam paskins this halacha, which we see here in the name of Rabbi Meir and this brisa, that the hazah took place on every single one of the 7 days. Later on in the sugya, we're going to try to figure out why they needed a hazah on every one of these days, when the Torah only requires hazah on the third and the seventh day of their tumah. Now the parsha here is Parshas Chukas. That was my bar mitzvah parsha in Bamidbar Perek Yutes, and there it says V'yizah ha-tohor al-atomei b'yom ha-shlishi u'b'yom ha-shvi'i. And yet, despite that fact, Rabbi Meir holds that the Kohanim were mazeh all 7 days. And the Gemara is going to try to explain his svara. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ein mazeh olav ela shlishi u'b'shvi bilvad. During the 7 days of prisha, of quarantine, there was no need for a hazah on all 7 days. The Torah only requires b'yom ha-shvi, b'yom ha-shlishi, b'yom ha-shvi. So that's all they needed. And the burden of proof is here on the shoulders of Rabbi Meir to try to figure out why Rabbi Meir requires hazah every single day. Now we have a third opinion in this braisa, another Tana, that's Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Omer. He makes a distinction, it's kind of a compromise sheet between the two polar extremes of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, and he says, with regard to the Kohen HaSorif HaSapara, then Rabbi Meir is right, and Mazin Olav Kol Shiva, we need a Hazan every single day. But with regard to the Kohen Gadol, who's preparing himself that week before Yom HaKippurim, and Mazin Olav El Shlishi Ushvi, that's all we need is the third and the seventh day of Hazah. And here, Rabbi Chanina embraces the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. So as we said before, we have two polar extreme Shitas, and we have a compromised Shita in the middle. On one polar extreme, we have Rabbi Meir, that in both the Kohen HaOved, the Kohen Gadol HaOved B'Yom HaKippurim, we're going to require for those 7 days Hazah every single day, and also in the case of Kohen HaSorev Sapara. On the other hand, we have Rabbi Yossi. In both of these cases, all you need is Hazah, B'Shlishi, and Shvi. And as we said before, the logic is with Rabbi Yossi. In the middle, between these two Shitos, we have Rabbi Chanina Skan Kohanim, who requires a daily Hazah for all 7 days in the case of the Kohen Sarif Sapara, whereas in the case of Kohen Gadol before Yom HaKippurim, it's sufficient if we have Hazah on the third and the seventh day. So the Gemara says the following suggestion. My love, shouldn't we assume, B'haka miflugi, what lies at the root of this machlokas? Rabbi Meir Savar Tuma Dechuya Hibitzibur, Rabbi Yossi Savar Tuma Hutra Hibitzibur. So let's try to understand why the Gemara thinks that these two issues, the issue of how frequently the Hazah has to take place during the 7 days, and the issue of whether Tum is Hutra or Dechuya Bitzibur, are interdependent. The Gemara suggests that to understand Rabbi Meir, we have to apply the principle of Tuma Dechuya Hi Bitzibur, which means that even when we're dealing with a carbon tzibur, and the Torah allows, if need be, that that carbon be brought betuma, nevertheless, dechuyahi, this is not the perfect, ideal way of doing it. And if we had our druthers, we would try to bring the carbon, even though it's a carbon tzibur, betara. And if, in the cases of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Sarif HaSapara, we were machmir, and we suspected the possibility that the Kohen contracted Tuma, and therefore we required that he undergo a process of purification with Hazah of the Efer Parah just in case, so then the Hazah should be done in its proper time, which means B'Yom HaShlishi B'Yom HaShvi. We're not going to delay the Hazah to a different day. Therefore, says Rabbi Meir, we're going to require Hazah every single day, because every single day is a possibility, it's a candidate, we have to be choshesh, maybe that day is the Yom HaShlishi or the Yom HaShvi, since he contracted Tumah. Again, we don't know that he contracted Tumah, and we certainly don't know on which day he contracted Tumah. But nevertheless, we have to worry about all possibilities. So therefore, let's take the first 3 days of the 7 days. Here we need Azah, because any one of those days could possibly be the third day since he contracted Tumah. We don't know if and when he contracted Tumah. As far as the last 3 days are concerned, once again, we have to suspect that maybe any one of those last 3 days, days 5, 6, and 7, might have been day 7 of his Tumah. The only day that doesn't require Hazah is Wednesday, Yom Revi'i. Because on the fourth day, meaning Yom Revi'i of his Prisha, that could not possibly be the third day since his Tumah, because he already was Poresh for four days when he gets to day 4. Likewise, it cannot be the 7th day of his Tumah, because they didn't do a Hazah on the third day of his Tumah. In other words, the first day before he was mafrish, and therefore, if by definition the fourth day could not be one of the last days, meaning of 7 days. So the Gemara is going to take this up a little bit later on. Now, why is Rabbi Meir based on the predicate called Tuma Dechuya Hibitzibur? Dechuya Hibitzibur means we have to do whatever we can to guarantee that he's tar. Even though, technically, if he did contract Tuma, the Kohen is still kosher for the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, because that's an Avodah of a Karban Tzibur. And all the Karbanos that were brought by the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, with the exception of Paro, but that also is like a Karban Tzibur because it's Yesh Lo Zman Kavu. Anyway, all these Karbanos would override Tumah, but nevertheless we have to do whatever we can in our power to try to avoid that situation. That's a fallback situation where he'll have to do the Avodah B'Tumah. What's the best way of guaranteeing that he does the Avodah B'Tara? By setting up the Hazah on a daily basis. Because then, when he goes to the mikveh after 7 days, we know that even in event, in the worst case scenario, that he had contracted Tumah, by coming into an OMS, etc., he is now tar. Rabbi Yossi Sover, Tumah Hutra Hibitzibur. Which means that from the Torah's perspective, even in event that he's Tomei, there's no hesitation, there's no reservation, he could go ahead and do the Avodah. And if that be the case, then the requirement of Hazah, according to Rabbi Yossi, is not because we're afraid he's Tomei, because Tumah Hutra Bitzibur, even in the worst case scenario, if he's Tomei, he's allowed to do the Avodah. We don't have to do anything in our power and turn over every leaf to make sure that he's Tar. But there's another halacha here called Maila, which is a Chumra, and for that Chumra, we're going to require Hazah, for that Maila. And all we need is the Hazah on the third and the seventh day. Now, where did we come across, where in the past have we encountered this concept called a Maila? So this was a Gemara that we had back on Daf Dalet. If you recall, there was a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to why this Hazah on the Kohen. Rabbi Yochanan said that since we derive the Prisha of a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Sorif HaSapara from the Parsha of Yemei HaMiluim, during the Yemei HaMiluim, Aaron and his children, his sons, were separated for 7 days. They went through a Prisha. And in the cases of Aaron Ubonov, during the Yemei HaMiluim, they did a Hazah from the Dam HaOsham, Asham HaMiluim. So too, every Kohen, who's either the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur or the Kohen Asarif Sapara, will require Hazah from the Efer Apara. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, said that the Din of Prisha is not derived from Yemei HaMiluim, and he derives it from a different parasha, from Kabbalah Satorah at Har Sinai, but the Hazah, so the Gemara asks back on Daf Dalet, so according to Reish Lakish, what's the source and what's the reason for Hazah? Why does our Mishnah require Hazah? And the Gemara answers, L'mayla bi'alma. What does it mean, L'mayla bi'alma? We want to have the Kohen experience or subject himself to Tahara, to a special Tahara, even though there's no reason to suspect that he's Tomei. And that's a Maila. That's a Maila, meaning it's a special, you know, upgrade for the Avodos that he's doing, and it's a Chumrah that applies way beyond all the other Avodos that were in the Migdash. Now, in the case of Paraduma, they made many, many Milos and many Chumras, because, as we learned earlier, they were actually Metame the Kohen HaSorif HaSapar. They deliberately were Metame him. They made sure that he would come in contact with the Sheretz, and that would make him into a Tful Yom, and that was something that they fought against the Tzdukim, because the Tzdukim came to the conclusion that a Tful Yom is completely disqualified from Sreifa Sapara. So they did, to counter the fact that he was contaminated, and they deliberately contaminated and made him into a tefillin by having him contact with the sheretz. On the other side, to make sure that there were no other problems of Tumah Vitara, they imposed many, many milos and many, many chumros so that people would not be mezalzel in the significance of Sreifa Sapor and say, look, they were metame him, so it means that there's no issue of Tumah Vitara. They subjected him to all sorts of taros. And according to Reish Lakish, in the case of Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol, they were knowing a milo and a chumro for the kavod of entering into the Machna Shechina, just as we did at the time of Har Sinai. And our sugya, our Gemara, reflects the Shita of Reish Lakish, that the reason for Hazah is because of all these chumros, that they wanted to give chashivas to the Kohen who, you know, who is going to do the Avoda on Yom HaKippurim, Lifnai V'Lifnim, he's going to enter into the Machna Shechina, or in the case of the Kohen HaSarif HaSapara, they added all these chumras and milos in order to offset, as we said before, the problem that people think there's no big deal of Tumeya because they artificially and deliberately metamiyim, etc., etc. According to Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, Hazah is derived from the Yumei HaMiluim. And it has nothing to do with being metarahim from his Tumah. We're going to have to be maza on him all 7 days because of the Gzeres HaKosuv that during the 7 days of Miluim there was Hazah. So when the Gemara here suggests that the reason why Rabbi Yossi, even though he holds Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, required Hazah is only because of a Chumrah, only as a Mila, then that makes sense according to Reish Lakish. Now, I just want to mention that there is another approach here of Tosfos. Tosfos says, back on Daf Dalet, that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, although we derive the requirement of Hazah from Miluim, that's only Nismachta. But the real truth about Hazah is that it was a Takonis Chachamim, it was rabbinic enactment, and it was a result of a Gzera because they were afraid that he was Tomei. But whatever it is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we would not define the essence, the requirement of Hazah as a Chumrah and as a Mila. That really is much more appropriate for Reish Lakish. So this sugi that we're learning now really reflects the Shita of Reish Lakish. Now the Gemara thinks that according to Rabbi Yossi, since Rabbi Yossi holds Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, and the only reason why, according to Rabbi Yossi, there's a requirement of Hazah at all, and that's going to be only on the minimum of third and seventh day, is because of Maila B'Alma, and that's what we're going to derive from Miluim, this concept of a Maila B'Alma. Now, the truth is that Rashi is a little bit problematic when he says Maila B'Alma D'Alfina Miluim. I mean, the truth is that if we derive it from Miluim, that's Gzeres HaKosuv that we need Hazah, and then we would require Hazah every single day of the 7 days. So one of the Achronim, he's called the Siach Yitzchak, he says that it seems from Rashi that the drosh of Miluim is only an Asmachta. And what the Chachamim did was, Hishru Chachamim es Afroshas HaKoin Limei HaMiluim. The Chazal made a certain equation to the Yomei HaMiluim requiring Hazah when the Kohen was Poresh. But this Hazah is not Kedeli Toyer, it's a Takon of Hazah to make it similar and parallel what they did during Yomei HaMiluim to Aaron Ubanov. In any event, just to summarize our sugya, what's absolutely critical for us to understand is that according to Rabbi Yossi, since Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, there's no need for Hazah. Hazah is a separate requirement. We'll call it a Chumrah of a Maila. And that's the way the Gemara understands Rabbi Yossi. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir holds Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur, which means that we have to uncover every single leaf, every stone, in order to make it possible to bring a B'Tara. And since we have a Chashash, that maybe perhaps the Kohen contracted Tumah, therefore we're going to require Hazah. And according to Rabbi Meir, the Hazah that we require is on every single day, because every day could be potentially the third or the seventh day since he contracted Tumah. Again, the fourth day is a different issue, which is going to come up in the Gemara very shortly. The Gemara says, V'tizbara. Is it really logical to say that the reason for Rabbi Yossi is because of Tumah Hutcha B'tzibur, and therefore he doesn't require Hazah on every single day? Isavar Rabbi Yossi, Heter hi B'tzibur. If Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that when you bring a Korban B'tumah, it's Hutra, Hazah Klal Lomali, why do we need Hazah at all? Now, perhaps the Gemara is wondering here about the Kohen Gadol 7 days before Yom HaKippurim. Why, in that case, does Rabbi Yossi require Hazah on Shlishi and Shvi if there's no Chashash Tumah? In the case of the Kohen Asarif HaSapara, we have a precedent, as we saw in the Gemara back on Daf Dalet, Reish Lakish, of Maila. They wanted to make a Maila to offset the problem that against the Tzdukim, they were Metame, the Kohen HaSarif HaSapar, they made him into a Tful Yom. But in the case of the Kohen Gadol, why do we need Hazah at all? Now, I'm just going to read to you a short summary of the Meloah HaRoim, and perhaps also of Tosus Dima Maschil E. The Meloah HaRoim says that the Gemara's question now is that it's impossible to interpret that Rabbi Yossi requires Hazah, Shlishi, and Shvi because we derive from Yimei HaMiluim that you need Hazah. Because if that be the case, then back at the time of the Miluim with Aaron and Bonav, they did Hazah on every single day of the 7 days. So from the fact that Rabbi Yossi only required Hazah on Shlishi and Shvi, it means that by default we have no other way of explaining and justifying this Hazah unless it's Tara Mitumas Mes. Now if Rabbi Yossi holds that Tumah Hutcha B'tzibur, why do we need any Hazah whatsoever? If this Hazah is classified and defined as a Hazah for Tara purposes, to be Matara someone, in this case the Kohen, from Tumas Mes, then Tumah Hutcha B'tzibur, there's no need to require Hazah. So you may have justified in the case of the Kohen Hasarif HaSapara because of the concept of Maila, but in the case of Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, which is not derived as a Maila from Har Sinai, then it could only be justified because of a chashash of a fear of Tumah, and now Rabbi Yossi holds Tumah Hutcha B'tzibur. Now, Tosfos, Dibur Maschil E, asks the following question: how can you prove from the fact that Rabbi Yossi says that they were Mazel on the Kohen Gadol that he must be holding Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur, which is what the Gemara is trying to prove? On Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol brought what's called the Ayala Ola. The Ayala Ola was his own personal Korban Yachid. And you have to try to do it B'tara, because everybody agrees that in the case of a Korban Yachid, Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur. It's only in a Korban Tzibur that we apply the principle of Tumah Hutcha B'tzibur. Sitosa suggests that the avoda of this aisle, Rabbi Yossi held that you need Hazah in the Kohen Gadol Shlishi Vishvi, even for the sake of this aisle. And the Marsha tries to understand what Tosus has in mind here. So let's leave that for now. Maybe we'll have time later to pick it up. Ella, so the Gemara says that we have to restructure our approach. And for sure, the Machlokes, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, is not about Tumo Hucha Bitzibur, the Kuli Alma. Both of these Tanoim, Hani Tanoi Savra Tumo, the Chuyahi Bitzibur. And therefore, we certainly have to try the best that we can to make sure that the Kohen is Tahar. V'hacha b'hacha miflagi. So what is the nature, what lies at the root of the Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Meir savar amrinon tvila bizmano mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi savar lo amrinon tvila bizmano mitzvah. If a tamei contracts tumah, then what did the Torah say about tara? Did the Torah give that as an option, and it's purely voluntary? The Torah gave him the possibility of being mitar himself, or is it more than that? It's not just an option, but rather it's a mitzvah. It's an obligation that's incumbent on the Tomei. And Bismana, the Torah says exactly when is your first opportune moment to be mitar yourself and go into the mikvah. Once that Zman Tvila, the time for mikvah, comes, immediately, without delay, don't tarry. You have to be Tovel exactly on that day, the first day that gives you the opportunity to do so. Now we have to add another point. We're going to derive hazah, which means Efer Apara, from Tvila. And just like in the case of Tvila, the Torah says, don't delay the Tvila, but on that day that you could be Tovel, that's when you're obligated to be Tovel. So too, with regard to hazah of the Efer Apara, we're going to derive, and we'll see from the Psukim, an analogy, an equation to Tvila. And so too, in the case of Azor, he's chayav to do the Azor from the Efer Apara immediately at the Zman of Azor. No delay. When the day of Azor comes by, that's when you have to do the Azor. Therefore, we're going to have to do the Azor, according to Rabbi Meir, on every single day, because it's possible that every single day is either the seventh day, or the third day, or the seventh day. Rabbi Yossi Sovar, lo amrin and tefillah b'zman mitzvah, he never accepted the equation between hazah and tefillah. And even if he would accept that equation, tefillah itself doesn't require b'zmano. So therefore there's no pressing need to do the hazah and the tamei dafka on the third and the sixth day of his tumah. And therefore let's just be mazah on days 3 and 7 after he starts his prisha. And if, in the worst case scenario, he contracted Tumah, then he becomes Tar with these two Hazos. Whereas Rabbi Meir is not going to wait till the third day, because it could be that the first day of Prisha is actually day 3. And therefore he needs Hazah on that day, because given the equation between Hazah and Tefillah Bizman and Mitzvah, the Hazah has to be done exactly on day 3 without delay. Rabbi Yossi is not impressed with that. Rabbi Yossi holds that he just at some point has to be mitayer himself, but it doesn't have to be on that day. And therefore, once he does the hazah on the third day of his preacher and on the seventh day of his preacher, we've guaranteed his tara, and that's all we need to do. Now, in the parsha of Parah Aduma, the Torah says, V'hizo ha-Torah al-Tomi b'yom ha-Shvi, b'yom ha-Shlishi b'yom ha-Shvi. And then it says, V'chit'o b'yom ha-Shvi, v'kibes b'goda v'rochatz b'sor b'mayim, v'toyer b'erev. So the Torah adds these words, V'chit'o b'yom ha-Shvi, and then v'rochatz. And this is going to teach us that the tefillah, v'rochatz means tefillah, must be dafka on Yom HaShvi. Because the Pasuk says, V'rochatz b'mayim, immediately after v'chito. Chito refers to the Hazah. So the Pasuk is coming to teach us, this is the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that Tvila should be done immediately in its time, and Hazah and Tvila are equated one to the other, because both of them are mentioned in that Pasuk. So even Hazah in its time is a mitzvah. Now you could have said that when it says v'chito b'yom ha-shvi, the pasuk is coming to teach us that the hazah has to be on Yom HaShvi, and that's hazah b'zman a mitzvah. And there's no reference to Yom HaShlishi here in this pasuk. But Tosus says that if the pasuk had in mind to teach me Azov is my mitzvah, then shouldn't it have told me that even Azov Yom HaShlishi is b'zman mitzvah? But rather, we should say that the word verachatz means immediately after the hazah. And in that case, it would seem from Tosfos that the critical element of mitzvah, that urgency of doing the hazah immediately on that day, applies to day 7, because immediately after V'chito b'yom ha-shvi'i says v'rochatz, and we're making an equation between v'rochatz and the hazov yom ha-shvi'i. There doesn't seem to be any indication in the pasuk that hazov b'zman mitzvah applies even to yom ha-shlishi. L'lamei ch'tehei hazov dafka b'yom ha-shvi'i, that's hazov b'zman mitzvah. And the Torah doesn't run around and tell me in any psukim that you need the hazah on Yom HaShlishi and it's got to be bizmana. So that's an issue that Tosfos addresses over here. Now the Gemara later on is going to explain the entire cheshbon, and the question here is, are we considering that the Kohen is Tameh? And that means that all the days before Yom HaKippurim, when the Kohen is doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, because that's what he does during the 7 days, then how can we allow him to do that if we're considering him that he has a Chazaka, we assume that he's Tameh? The answer is, we're not assuming that he's Tameh. But rather, because of Yom HaKippurim, and it's great Mila, we're machmir to require the process of purification just in case he's Tomei. And if that be the case, then even if I hold Tvila v'azah b'zman mitzvah, if this whole requirement of hazah and Tvila is only a chumrah, do we have to therefore be so careful that the hazah and the Tvila are b'zmana? And that is another question that we wanted to raise. Now, Rabbi Yossi holds Lo'am Rinan Tefila B'zman HaMitzvah, and according to Rabbi Yossi, when the pasuk says V'chit'o B'yom HaShvi'i, it's not referring to Tefila, it's referring to Azah. And Rabbi Yossi in Masechta Kiddushin uses that pasuk for some other drasha. Now the pasuk says, "V'hizah ha-tahor al ha-tamei b'yom ha-shlishi b'yom ha-shvi'i." And the process of yom ha-shlishi and yom ha-shvi'i of hazah is a preparation for kodshim, which means that in event that the kohen is tamei, he's not allowed to eat kodshim. So in the absence of hazah of both the third and the seventh day, he will not be able to eat kodshim. Now, it's interesting, for the eating of truma, truma is on a little bit of a lower level than kodshim. We don't need two azos. That's why the pasuk emphasizes v'chit'o b'yom ha-shvi. That means he needs the hazah of yom ha-shvi, and that's absolutely critical for Achilas Truma. In the case of Kodshim, he needs both Yom HaShlishi and Yom HaShvi. So now the Gemara is going to reject this presentation, and it's impossible to assume that the Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi revolves around Tefila B'zman HaMitzvah. V'chi Sovar, Rabbi Yossi, Lo Amrina, and Tefila B'zman HaMitzvah. You're telling me that the reason why Rabbi Yossi lets you get away with hazah on Shlishi and Shvi is because he doesn't accept the principle of Tefila B'zman HaMitzvah Asanya? We have a brisa, and I want to give a little bit of an introduction to this brisa. This brisa quotes Rabbi Yossi, and we're going to derive from this brisa that Rabbi Yossi holds that tefillah bizman a mitzvah, which is against our interpretation of Rabbi Yossi in the case of Prisha, where we require only 3 and 7. This brisa is addressing a parsha. The Torah says in Dvarim Yud Beis, V'ibadetem eshmam min ha-mokom ahu, meaning the Torah mandates us to destroy Avodah Zorah. And then immediately it says afterwards, Lo tasun kein l'Hashem Elokeichem, telling me that the name of God, the holy name of God, has to be treated with great respect and awe. We're not allowed to destroy it. We're not allowed to erase it. And now, the brisa is going to address a very strange scenario. And a person had, I don't know what you want to call it, exactly how it came about, but somebody wrote the name of God on his flesh. I don't think it was a tattoo, because the Gemara is going to say that when he goes down into the mikveh, it washes off the name of God. So the brisa says, HaReisha HaYashem, the name of God, Kosov al-Basaro, HaReisha Lo Yirchatz, V'lo Yosuch, V'lo Yamin B'mokom Atinofes. A person should not have a bath. He should not rub his flesh with, anoint his flesh with oil. And this is because he will erase the name of God. As we said before, Lo Tasun Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem, the Torah prohibits us from erasing the name of God. Furthermore, he's not allowed to stand in a Mokom Hatinofes. Mokom Hatinofes is a Beis HaKise or a Beis HaMerchatz, a place where there is excrement. And this person, if he has to go to the bathroom, he's going to have to find a place that's not a Beis HaKise. But a Beis HaKise, because of its tremendous amount, you know, volume of excrement, therefore, that's called a Mokom HaTinofes. And if he stands in a Mokom HaTinofes and he takes the name of God into that place, a Beis HaMerchatz, a Beis HaKise, then he's violating Kedushas Hashem. And we have to treat the name of God with respect. Nizdam nalo tevila shel mitzvah. Let's say he contracted tumah, and the only way that he can purify himself is by going into a mikvah. Now he's in a bind, because on the one hand he has to go to the mikvah, and the Torah required him to do so, to purify himself from tumah. But on the other hand, by going to the mikvah, he jeopardizes the name of Hashem that might become erased. So in this case, the Braisa advocates, Korech Olav Gemi. Gemi is a kind of a reed or a grass. And he ties this grass around the name of Hashem. And when he goes down into the mikvah, this gemi is going to protect the name of Hashem. It won't be erased. V'tovel, and now he can be tovel in the mikvah. Again, there's a whole discussion here about what we call chatzitza. Why isn't this reed or this grass, why isn't it a chatzitza? The water will not be able to come in contact with his body. So he says that the Rice is addressing a case where the dio, the ink that was used to write the name of God, was lach, it was very wet, and therefore it's not a chatzitza in tefillah. And even when he's Korech, when he wraps the gemi on top of the name, he doesn't tie it down tightly to his basar, to his flesh, and therefore it's not going to serve. It's not going to be a chatzitza in tefillah. So that's a sugya actually in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Ches, Akuf Chav. So this is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yored V'Tovel Kedarko. Rabbi Yossi says there's no need for him to tie this gemi around the name of God. He could just make a normal tvila. Ubilvad Shalo Yishavshev. He's got to make sure not to rub the name of God with his hand while it's in the water, because then for sure he's going to erase the name of God with his hands. And it seems that Rabbi Yossi holds that even if the water of the mikvah will remove the name of God, but nevertheless he didn't do it directly, it wasn't done biyadayim, he just went down into the mikvah, what happens, happens. And the violation of lo tasun kein l'Hashem elokecha is only when you do it actively. For example, if he would be mishafshef, then for sure he would be in violation of this isur mechikas Hashem. But in any event, one thing is clear, that both the first Tana that requires a gemi and Rabbi Yossi, who doesn't require a gemi, they both assume that there's a mitzvah of tefillah, that if you contract a tumah, you're commanded by God to be tovil and purify yourself. Now you have a conflict, and we have to figure out how to avoid and circumvent that conflict and not violate the isur mechikas Hashem. But everybody agrees, the kaimalon, the tefillah bizmana mitzvah. And now the Gemara wants to say the following, that perhaps the Tanakhama holds, lo amrin in tefillah bizmana mitzvah. That if there's a chashash that maybe he'll erase the name of God, because when he jumps into the mikvah, you know, the water is moving very strongly, so then he's not allowed to go into the mikvah. The only way we could allow it is if we can guarantee that he won't remove the name of God. Like, for example, Korei Chalov Gemi. Rabbi Yossi Sovar, Amrinan Tefillah Bizmana Mitzvah. Now, what happens is the following. If we're going to require a Gemi, we're going to have to run around, look for a Gemi. If you don't find a Gemi, then you'll probably have to delay Tefillah for another day. Rabbi Yossi says, I'm not going to ask you to run around and look for a gemi, because you have a mitzvah of tefillah, and you have to be tovel immediately, because tefillah bizman of mitzvah. And we're going to allow you to be tovel even without a gemi. And if, in the worst case scenario, the name of God, heaven forbid, gets erased because of the, you know, the power of the water, then it doesn't matter, because tefillah bizmana mitzvah. Tefillah bizmana mitzvah is such a powerful requirement. The mandate overrides the possibility that maybe there'll be a mechikas Hashem. And if we would require, as the Tanakhama requires, running around looking for a gemi, you might come to a situation where you delay the tefillah for the next day, and Rabbi Yossi cannot tolerate that, because he holds tefillah bizmana mitzvah. And if that be the case, we cannot explain that the reason why Rabbi Yossi allows the Kohen to limit his hazah to Shlishi and Shvi is because he holds Tefillah Bizmana Eina Mitzvah, because Rabbi Yossi himself is committed, he goes on record to holding Tefillah Bizmana Mitzvah. Ella says the Gemara Kuli Alma, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, Lahani Tanoi, Amrin and Tefillah Bizmana Mitzvah. Everybody agrees that Tefillah has to take place Bizmana. So what is the machlokas about Hazah and the Kohen, whether you need it every day of the seven or only on three days, three and seven? But Hakam Iflugi. Rabbi Meir Sovar. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, Makshinon Hazah L'Tefillah. That just like tefillah bizmana mitzvah, so too by equation hazah bizmana mitzvah. And therefore we need hazah on every single day, because that day might be the day of hazah. Rabbi Yossi Sovar, lo makshinen hazah l'tefillah. He never accepted the analogy, the equation between hazah and tefillah. So that even though tefillah bizmana mitzvah, without this hekesh, Hazah does not have the same status of Bizmana Mitzvah. And therefore, it's enough, it's sufficient that you do the Hazah on the Kohen, on Shlishi and Shvi. Now, what about Rabbi Chanina Skan Kohen? He made it, if you recall, a compromise sheet. What's his logic to differentiate between the Hazah of the Kohen Gadol for Yom HaKippurim and the Hazah of the Kohen Asarif Sapporah? Rab Yochanan, Rab Chanina, Skan Kohanim. Where does he hold? E Makish HaZolat Tefillah, if he agrees with Rabbi Meir. That means that just like Tefillah Bizmana Mitzvah, so too HaZol Bizmana Tefillah Mitzvah is Afilu Kohen B'Yom HaKippurim Nami. He, Rabbi Chanina Skan Kohanim, should require HaZol on every day of the 7 days, even in the case of the Kohen Gadol. V'lo, if he doesn't have the Makish HaZol Tefillah, then afilu kohen asorif esapora nami lo. There's no need for the kohen asorif esapora to have azah on every single day. So there's no consistency here in Rab Chanina. Gemara answers: we olam Rab Chanina skan kohenim lo makish. He doesn't have the equation between hazah and tefillah. He really belongs to the camp of Rab Yossi, and therefore, in the case of the kohen gadol before Yom Kippurim, he doesn't need azah on every day. But in the case of kohen asorif esapora, why does he require Azah on every day? That's because Maila Bialma, as we said before, in the case of Parah Aduma, we were afraid that there'll be Mezalzel in Parah Aduma because they saw that the Kohanim actually, you know, brought the Sheretz to the Kohen HaSorev, and they were Metamihim as a Tful Yom. They might come to do Zilzel. So we have to offset that Zilzel, and we have to upgrade the status of purity and purification of the Kohen HaSorev as a Parah. And therefore, Rab Chanina Skan Kohanim requires Hazah on every single day of the 7 days. Now, here, I would like to, as we come to the end of the shiur, I want to share with you the following note. Rashi here, Dibur HaMaskil Koreich, says the reason that why the Tanakhama requires that we wrap the Gemi around the name of Hashem is to protect it so that it shouldn't get erased. Now, on the top of the page, on the right, on the left side, you may see something called Tosus Yeshanim. And I have it in my Gemara, I don't know if you have it in yours. The Tosus Yeshanim says that if you check out the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chaf, you'll see that in the Hava Mina, the Gemara thought that the reason why we wrap the Gemi around the name of God is to protect it from Mechika, that it shouldn't be erased. But the Gemara objects to that because the Gemara thinks that the Gemi is not Mehudak, it's not tied tightly, because otherwise it would be a Chatzitza. And if it's not tied tightly, then the water is going to come underneath the Gemi, or into the Gemi, it'll be absorbed, and it'll cause Mechikas Hashem. So it's impossible, says the Gemara, to postulate that the reason and the agenda, the goal of Gemi is to protect the name, because if the Gemi is not being tied tightly, and it can't be, because otherwise it'd be a Chatzitza, then the water is no doubt going to erase the name of God. So the Gemara therefore offers another suggestion, Lamaskana, that as far as Mechikas Hashem is concerned, we wouldn't tell him not to be Tovel, because the Pasuk of the Iser of Mechikas Hashem says, Lo Sa'asun, and that means a Maisa, don't actively erase the name of God. But if you're doing it in an indirect way, because you go into the mikveh for the purpose of tefillah, and he's not being mochek b'yadayim, he's only a gore mechika, then there's no iser. So the Gemara says the reason why he's got to wrap the gemi around the name of God is, quote-unquote, kadesh lo yamod b'fnei Hashem k'shu orum, that he shouldn't be standing in the presence of God, meaning the name of God, when he's naked. So the reason why he wraps it with a gemi is just a lo yamod arum, he should not stand naked b'fnei Hashem, not because of Mechikas Hashem. And the strange thing is that Rashi here in Masechta Erevin seems to be totally, in Masechta Yuma, excuse me, is totally oblivious to that Gemara in Shabbos and assumes that the reason why we wrap around the Gemi is because of Mechikas Hashem. So I had mentioned earlier the Siach Yitzchak. And he says that the Tosis Shalom is objecting to that which Rashi wrote over here in Masechta Yoma, that Krichas HaGemi is in order to protect the name of God, that it shouldn't be erased. And when Rashi says that the Isur Achitza B'mayim, you remember that we discussed even taking a bath, forget about Tevila as a mitzvah, that Isur is Kedei Shel Yimchak Hashem. That's because Rechitza is not Grama, because when he washes his body, then he's Meshafshef. He actively will, you know, he'll soap up his body and clean his body in such a way that he is actively being Mochek B'yadayim. So that wouldn't have bothered the Tosi Shonim. What bothers the Tosi Shonim is the case of Tevila, where he's not actively erasing the name of God, and therefore there should be no Iser of Mechika. And therefore, the Tosi Shonim objects, why does Rashi say that the Tevila here requires a Gemi, according to Tanakhama, because we're trying to circumvent Mechika Sashem. That's not the issue here. And Gemi is not going to be an effective way of protecting and avoiding Mechikas Hashem. It's only there, Kadesh Lo Yamod Bifnei Hashem Orum. So the Siach Yitzchak, in order to defend Rashi, he suggests that Rashi holds that when the Gemara says that there's no Iser Mechikas Hashem in the case of Tevila because it's only a Grama, that only applies to what's called mayim regilim, normal, very stagnant water. But in the case of mayim sheshotvim b'chazka, in the case where the water is like a spring water, and it's really, you know, like white water, you know, it's moving very quickly, there are waves and so forth, very, very stark, then it's karav levadai sheyimchok es Hashem. That's not groma. He's not allowed to be tovel. Unless he again wraps it around with a gemi, what's the gemi going to accomplish? After all, we said before, the gemi is not tied tightly around the name of God. But the answer is, the gemi at least will push off the waves and the power of the locution of the waves and the water, and therefore it's going to turn into grama, and then it's mutter. And Rabbi Yossi holds that since Tefillah Bizman a mitzvah, they allowed him to be tovel even without the gemi, so that he shouldn't flounder around and look for the gemi. And all this is because he's not doing a mechikas Hashem mamish b'yadayim. In sum, we could say that there are two different reasons why we need kricha b'gemi. One is so that it won't become karv levadai sheyimchok es Hashem, right? There's a good chance that the gemi will protect the mechikas Hashem. And number two, kedesh lo yamod bifnei Hashem orum. Now, even though the Gemara in Shabbos could have explained that the machlokas here about whether you require kricha of gemi in a case of mayim shotvim, where the water is very strong, right, the flow and the waves, but the Gemara preferred to explain that the reason for Kricha is Kedei Shelo Yamod Orum, in order to explain B'Pshitus, the Tanakamu says, you're not allowed to be Tovel without Krichas Gemi, which seems to imply even if the Mayim is Enom Shotvim, even if the water is not, it's still water, it's not, you know, the wavy water. Rashi here is operating with the reasoning of Kedei Shelo Yimchok Es Hashem. Rashi prefers to explain the beginning of this braisa that says you're not allowed to be rochets and sach, and the end of the braisa says that you should not be tovel without krichas gemi, and it's all one reasoning, and that is because of mechikas Hashem. And the reason why it's muchach that Rabbi Yossi holds that tefillah bizman a mitzvah is because if Tevilah Bizmana was not a mitzvah, then for sure we would not allow him to be tovel in a way, in a situation that's karav levadai sheyimchok es Hashem, when there are very strong waves. Whereas if the Iser was kedesh lo yamod bifnei Hashem orum, it would be much easier. That's a lighter Iser, and we could be matir. for the sake of tefillah. Now, the Torah says, as we mentioned earlier in Parshas Chukas, v'chat'o b'yom ha'shvi v'chibes b'godov v'rochatz b'mayim. And chito is a reference to hazor. Rochatz b'mayim is to tefillah. And from this pasuk, we're going to derive that tefillah b'zman a mitzvah, as we mentioned earlier. Well, thank you very much. This will stop, and we'll pick it up Mirtz Hashem next week on Keman Azla Hodutan Rabba. Here on Daf Ches Amud Aleph on the bottom of the Yom.